That period through the 1970s when you were playing for Gloucester, I noticed you played under a lot of different captains. They seemed to keep changing the captain every year.
Why
was that?
I think it was just to give, to refresh, I think, the approach, number one, to get somebody with some different ideas in there, and to share it around amongst the, you know, the senior professionals, I think. When I got there, Mike Nichols was captain. And we used to call him Mike the Rabid Dog in those days, because he used to foam at the mouth before every game. I mean, he was absolutely terrible. And we used to have the old wooden boarded changing room, you know. And in those days, you know, like they used to have L kicked out of it before the game, you know. And it was, but Mick, you really used to get you fired up. You know, he used to come up and punch you in, you know. So it was. It was good stuff. We didn't expend all that energy on the pitch, you know, but there was a lot of feeling in the dressing room, I tell you, a lot of energy and high spirits in the dressing room, I tell you, before the games. Probably one of the best captains there was Mickey Burton. He did a real solid job there. And then my favourite, but not my favourite, was John Watkins, because he used to drive you on all the time, John. He was a perfectionist, you know. Nothing was ever right. If you took a 25 metre... drop out, 25 yard drop out, it had to be right on the spot, or John would come up and show you that next time, give it this one or this one, you know. And it was all this sort of thing, but he was a real perfectionist and a great guy to play with, because you know he'd die for you, you know. He'd be there on the ball before you ever got near it, you know.
Well, so, and he's still devoted to rugby to this
absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Wonderful fine referee for
fine referee,
rugby.
Yeah, yeah. Fine yeah. referee, John, and like good guy as well, good yeah. guy.
One of the great events in your early years at Gloucester was 1973, of course, was the centenary year. Don Rutherford brought an international 15 down to King's Home. Yeah. Tell us about that game, Peter.
I don't remember much of it, but I remember some of the...
Well, you ought to. You scored two tries.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some of the guys there who played that, I think it was an international 15, wasn't it? So I think Mazzo might have been there.
I think Vilpro was the fullback.
Yeah, one of my heroes, by the way. Round the corner kicker as well, and a fine exponent of rugby in his day. Great, great player. And the beauty for me was the way he handled it as well. You know, he was just such a proud man in everything he did. You know, and he was a model for me, really. You know, on that international scene, I always remember the. I'm going to get the name wrong now, but there was a big number. Benoit Doga, I think, played that day, and Doga was a mountain of a man. He played against us that day, and I'll tell you, it was one of the finest evenings I think I had under floodlights at King's Home. We went on from there afterwards and had a few beers that night as well. But it was a great occasion and a great year for Gloucester as well. You know, having the centenary, one of the oldest clubs in existence, having all the, you know, all the players really from that John Player Cup, the first, you know, National Cup squad being there. I mean, it was a great boost for the players, the people coming in, you know. That first year as well, I had three or four games for Gloucester, by the way. And then we had the All Blacks come to King's Home, and I got selected for the South and South West against the All Blacks. I had three games or something at a top level, and then I had to play against Kirkpatrick and Joey Carum and Brian Williams on the wing. And my God, and that was in front of, we had 16,000 there that day, which is the capacity today's, you know, and they were all sat on chairs on the touchline. They were about this far from the pitch. Incredible day. We lost, mind you, but Mickey Burton scored a try from about 10 metres out and managed to just get himself over, and by the end of the night I think he scored that try from about 60 metres, I think, as the story went, and I kicked the conversion and kicked a penalty. So that was a fair day's work, I suppose, against a good international team, really. But that was a great joy for me, that game.
From those very early days of Gloucester rugby, the games against particularly the Big Four in Wales, Cardiff, Swansea, Llanelli, Newport, were the big games of the season. And I guess that was still pretty well the case when you were playing.
Yeah, Llanelli I only played once.
Right.
and we got them on a good day. We came away with our tails between our legs, so I think we lost 51-19 or something. They're a real good side, good crowd as well, you know, real partisan crowd. Cardiff I played two or three times, a couple of times at King's Home. In fact, I felt I broke my collarbone against Cardiff at King's Home. So somebody took me up to the, nobody wanted to come away from the game because it was so intense, so I had to make my own way up to the hospital, like this, you know. So we managed, that was good stuff. They were always good games against Cardiff, real hard, you know. The other two were
Newport
at Romney Parade. God, what a place to go. Oof, terrible, terrible. On a Wednesday night, usually, in the pouring rain, not happy.
With a Welsh referee.
Yeah, we always played 16 in Wales, of course. But 16 plus the crowd. But I've won a couple of times there. At Newport, I had the biggest bollocking I ever had from a captain of Gloucester ever, Mickey Burton. I'd just come back because we'd had some family problems. I'd just come back from that, and Berto caught hold of me and just coming out of a rut, caught hold of me and said, "Butler, get your mind on this game." And that was it. That was the biggest telling off I'd ever had. But it shook me to my senses anyway. And Swansea, I mean, when I was at university, I played for the UAU on Boxing Day at Swansea, and we beat them. Four Swansea side, we beat them. That was my claim to fame in those days. And every other time I went to Swansea, I never got anywhere near, I'm afraid. I've been down there a couple of times when we were travelling down in freezing fog and all that sort of stuff. Got there and the game was called off because the pitch was frozen, you know. It was a very open, wasn't it? Very open place. Mm. Swansea only had a stand on the one side and all the rest was open. So it got very, you know, very affected by the weather there. But it was a nice place to go. I mean, it's a lovely scenario. Yeah, I remember Watkins was umming and ahhing about whether we should play or whether we shouldn't. And we went out there, and it was like really hard. You know, you couldn't play out there. But John, you know, well, we come all this way, we may as well have a go. You know, that was always John. But no, we didn't get onto the pitch in the end. We managed to come back and live to fight another day, thankfully. But there were always good places to go. You know, Cardiff was a great place to go. Newport was a good place to go. A real working class environment, you know. Newport, different to Cardiff, really, because Cardiff were the upper class, more the upper class people, and they had the money, you know, rather than Newport. We went to Pontypridd once and played against Pontypridd down there, Tommy David and all them. Got a good idea in there as well, by the way, but not an easy place to go up the valley there.
Well, I guess the Welsh fixture list has expanded then, because you probably played Abervale as well.
Played Abervale, yeah. Played
Pontypool.
Yeah, Pontypool, Abertillery.
Yeah.
We played New. I can't remember what it's called now. We played one up the valley from Abervale. They were a good side. That's where Paul Howells nearly got us into terrible trouble. They had this number 8 mountain called Clive Davis, played for Wales a couple of times, number 8, and of all the people Howler should try and pick a fight with was him, and he had to jump to hit him on the jaw because he couldn't reach him otherwise, because he was a small guy, Howler. He had to jump to hit him, but he did hit him, mind you, I tell you, and we all cowered away thinking, oh my god, murder. But he was a strong boy, Howler.